John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." I'd like to invite Greg and Asa Swenson to come forward. I'm Sue Parks, and I'm the chairman of the missions ministry team here at Faith Bridge. So we're really happy to have one of our missionaries, Greg and Asa, here today, and their daughters are here also. They're helping with the kid things. So Greg and Asa have been serving as World Venture Missionaries in Japan since 2009, and that's when our church started supporting them, so we got on board early on through the connection of Russ Paulson. Greg was born and raised in Japan as son of missionaries, and he came to faith in Christ through the testimony of his parents. Asa, as a native Japanese, was also raised in a Christian home in Japan. And she came to Christ in 1980 at a Billy Graham crusade in Tokyo. They have four children, Micah, Jonah, Karen, and Ellen. And Karen and Ellen are here today, and they're helping with the kids right now. Tokyo suburb of Kokubunji in 2014, the Swensons began a new church planting effort in partnership with one of World Venture's affiliated local national churches, which eventually emerged as a vision for a house church ministry. Through God's provision, the Swensons were able to purchase land and build what has become known as Josui House of Grace, a building that serves not only as their dwelling, but also as a ministry center for House of Grace ministry activities. So please welcome the Swensons this morning.
Thank you so much, Sue. Such a joy and a privilege to be with you all, and we are so grateful for your partnership and the ministry that the Lord has allowed us to be a part of over these last 13 years or so in Japan. And as Sue mentioned, we've been in this West Tokyo suburb of Kokubunji since 2014. And just in the last 3 or 4 years, God has allowed us to have this building called House of Grace. Okay, so Josui House of Grace is the name of our church. We envision House of Grace, a God-centered, Christ-exalting, Spirit-empowered, prayer-driven, Bible-saturated, neighbor-loving, disciple-making, gospel-preaching, community-engaging, missional house church that will not only be a witness in our local community, but will be a launching pad for other house churches with similar vision. It was a miracle of God that we were able to get this land. He provided a builder, provided a banker that would loan us a mortgage, and we were able to build this dwelling. This is our main meeting place, our meeting room. It's only 340 square feet, but has a lot of potential for many different kinds of ministries. This is the same room from a different angle. Every Sunday, we started out once a month 4 years ago, and now we meet weekly. We have a Bible cafe every Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And this is our worship leader, Brother Kosuke, who God brought to us through our neighbors, our unbelieving, not non-Christian neighbors. And he's become one of the pillars of our church and has really been an encouragement to us. He works as a nutritionist at the local school district. And Yukari, she's still a seeker, but she's one of our most faithful people in our group at House Josui House of Grace. Asa met her through the Music Garden Ministry. She has two young daughters, and has a huge, real thirst and hunger for spiritual things. Mrs. Matsumoto is a lady I've gotten to know. She's a widow I got to know through my morning exercise group every morning, and she's really got a lot of connections to the community, and she has an interest in spiritual things as well. Mari has been a joy to know. She's one of the newer comers to our group, and she was our first baptism at House of Grace. So that was such an exciting day that she was just baptized on June 5th, I believe. Yes. So We have different ways of engaging the community through our monthly Megumi Cafe. Just invite people. Once a month, we just open up our place for people just to come and hang out and have coffee and chat. We also have our kids' VBS. We have our special and young adult for TCK, Third Culture Kids, and our Sunday School for Little Ones. God has indeed provided in so many ways and so many things we can thank Him for, just for the provision of a place that we can have a ministry, for the people who've committed to this church planting effort and the energy and the eagerness and their willingness to serve in so many ways, and just for those allowed us to develop with our neighbors in the community. Just a few prayer requests we'd like to leave with you. Pray for God's sustaining grace on the people of the House of Grace during our absence while we are on home assignment here in the States. God has provided for people to step up. He's provided pulpit supply through other pastors and missionaries while we're gone, for every Sunday that we're gone. Also, just people in the House of Grace congregation who've stepped up to help with practical logistical matters. Pray for Maddie's faith, even as she's planning in the States, in Wisconsin, actually, on a homestay program. So pray that God will sustain her faith and grow her faith while she's here. And pray for the salvation of Yukari and a young middle school girl, Kumiko, and also Mrs. Matsumoto. So thank you so much for praying. Thank you. So I would like to go ahead and read the passage, which I would like to use as a springboard for what I sense the Lord leading me to share with you. I'll be reading from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verses 1 to 6. 1 Samuel 30, 1 to 6, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and their wives and sons and daughters kept taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Will you pray with me before we go into the word? Heavenly Father, I thank you for gathering us together on this, your day. Thank you for your word. Pray that you would teach us what you would have us to receive and understand and live out in our lives. I pray these things in the name of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it almost goes without saying after what Pastor Jeff just shared with us from what's going on in your congregation. But I asked the question, how many here have never experienced any trial or difficulty or adversity? Probably not many. On the other hand, head against the wall, didn't know which way to turn. Have you felt like everyone was against you? Even those you thought were most closest to you, even those that you thought were your close friends. Well, if you haven't had such difficulty, I can assure you that it will come. You've probably heard the universal saying that for everyone here, you've either just come out of a trial, or you're going through one now, or there's one coming in the future. It might be a little ways off, or it might be right around the bend. We just read a passage here where David was in that kind of situation. He felt that he was opposed from every direction, even those of his close associates, his comrade in arms, were ready to stone him. I recall some years back when a seasoned pastor pointed out how David responded in such a situation of crisis highlighted in this passage. And in recent years, when I come across this passage in my annual read through the Bible, I've been inspired by David's example of faith when I find myself in challenging circumstances. What do I do? I feel like it is an impossible situation. Now, to be sure, the trials we might face might not necessarily be to the extreme level that David experienced in this passage, but when I read a passage like this, I realize that what I'm experiencing is a trial or adversarial circumstance as I thought it was. Nonetheless, I think we can all be encouraged and exhorted and challenged by David's example. So, in this today's passage, I just want to share an outline of what I'd like to do today. So briefly, I just want to highlight some background to give you some context of today's passage, and then highlight some observations from the text we just read, and then finally to commend to you a selection of texts to strengthen yourself in the Lord when you're faced with a difficulty or anytime you need encouragement, and then just close with a brief application, a gospel application. So first, just some context. So we just read a brief snippet of the larger narrative of about the not yet King David's escapades recorded throughout the preceding chapters of 1 Samuel. By way of background, I just want to highlight at least two factors I think that will shed some light in the passage we just read. First was on the run from King Saul. In fact, he's been on the run since chapter 19 because Saul is trying to kill David. Saul was very jealous of David because people were talking about David's conquest over the enemies, and Saul was jealous. But even though Saul's chasing him all over the place, he never catches him. David always manages to evade him. In fact, David twice has had a chance to kill Saul, but he refuses to do so because he knows it would be wrong to take matters in his own hands, especially because King Saul, even with his flaws, did the Lord's anointed king. The second factor to keep in mind in David's current circumstance is that David, in order to shake Saul off his tail, he goes into the region of Gath. Now that's Philistine territory. And there he forms what you might call a delicate alliance with Achish, who is the king of Gath. In fact, Achish gave David and his men the city of Ziklag to settle in with their families. But then when the Philistines are about to go into battle against Saul and his army, David tries to join Achish and his army. But the Philistine commanders are not at all keen about letting David joining them, because they think, well, they're quite certain that David will turn on them. So Achish basically gives David the shaft and says, no, we don't need you. So now we come to today's text. So after being turned away from Achish, we say, don't, you can't join us in battle. David and his men returned to Achish, only to find that the Amalekites had raided the city, taken everyone captive, all their families, including David's two wives, and they set the city on fire. Now, the narrator of for Samuel tells us that the Amalekites killed no one, but David and his men probably did not know that. So it's understandable that they would have experienced and expressed such great anguish in verse 4. David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. So they were distressed by their circumstances, and then they just wept until they had no more strength. And finally, to top it off, we read in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. That's probably an understatement. But the narrator tells us why. Why was he so distressed? It tells us, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. They were all mourning their apparent great loss, including David. But now, all his people were turning on their leader. So, here we have this situation. David is being hunted by Saul. He's rejected by his fair-weather ally, Achish. David's wives and the families of all his men have been taken away to who knows where, and now his own men want to kill him by stoning. Talk about having your back against the wall. With all these things going against David, it would be understandable to think that David was greatly distressed. That would be an understatement. But then what does it say that, well, first of all, I would like to ask again, have you ever felt like you were in that kind of situation? Well, let's see, what does it say that David did at the end of verse 6? David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I asked myself, how would I respond in David's situation? How would you respond? I find encouragement and inspiration in what David did in this, his predicament of this crisis. I certainly want to find strength in the Lord when adversity comes. But what exactly does that involve? How did David strengthen himself in the Lord his God? You know, I kind of would have liked the narrator to elaborate a little more on what David exactly did. But when you think about it, we actually have a plethora of material that David left us in the Psalms and elsewhere, not to mention other scripture. We can garner and strengthen ourselves in the Lord through them. So now I'd like to just go into a brief survey of some texts that I would commend to you to strengthen yourself in the Lord the next time you face a challenge or difficult situations, or even right now. As I enter into these texts, I want to first remind you of the fact that all Scripture is for our benefit. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. Our New Testament, in Christ, we can take these as our own. So I want to, first, Psalm 62 tells us to pour out our heart to God. You know, Pastor James Allen said we need to be honest with whatever burdens we're bearing. Like the song we just sang, I must tell Jesus. As it says in Psalm 68, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone, he only is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be salvation in my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So here David is saying, just whatever is weighing you down, whatever burden you have, pour out your heart to God. Come before the Lord and pour out your burdens. And 1 Peter 5 tells us, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. He cares for each one of you, whatever you're going through. A second point I'd like to commend you as far as strengthening yourself in the Lord is to acknowledge your need of God's help. Psalm 31, 9 and 10 says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. So when you feel your weakness, you have no more strength, acknowledge that to God, that you need his help. 3, declare your trust and your dependence upon the Lord. Again, Psalm 31, verses 1 and 2 says, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. And then in verses 14 and 15, but I trust in you. You are my God. My times are in your hand. 4, cry for help. Just cry out, ask the Lord for help. Psalm 70, verse 5 says, but I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. And five, remember that God will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5, quoting actually Joshua 1:5, says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then Jesus' words to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 20, I am with you always to the end of the age. Not just to the end of the service, not just to the end of this day, not to the end of this year, but to the end of the age. Finally, trust in God's blood-bought promises. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Psalm, put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? I'm sorry, I missed a passage. And also, and then Psalm, Isaiah 40, verse 31, a very familiar passage. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And finally, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Finally, I would just like to close with a gospel application from 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, and 10. No matter what situation you're in, remember that God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. God will sustain us and in death. So, if God is with us, who can be against us? We have nothing to fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that in our deepest distress, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Though we are weak, you are strong in our weakness, and your grace is made manifest in our weakness. I pray that you would incline our hearts to pour out all our burdens and anxieties onto you, that we would acknowledge our helplessness without you, that we put our hope and trust in you, and that we would anchor our hope and our joy and our confidence in you through all the promises you've given to us through Christ, who died and rose again, in whose name I pray. Amen.